wonder how Jeff and Rosanna are doing. And I look up and Jeff's here. So God heard my prayer. I called, he answered. There you are. Jeff, you doing all right? Good. They moved to West Virginia. His beautiful wife got a better job there. They're going to get out of debt and then come back, I hope. Jeff's taking a couple semesters here, so they have a house here and a house there, house everywhere, and he's going to school. But glad you're here, brother. Good to see you. And all you that are guests of ours today, we're glad you're here. Thank you for being here today. Grab your Bibles and start finding the book of Colossians. It's a letter from Paul to the church of Colossae. And I like to use my accent, my Arizona native accent, as I use words here to make points. But I'm glad y'all are here. You know, the Bible says a lot about calling God. And as Jed was worshiping God with us, and we were worshiping with him, and we were talking about calling on God, the words really rang out in my life today, and as I sang that, is rescue me. You know, most of us in this room today could use to be rescued, amen? I know I could. And do you guys know God's phone number? Have I told you that before? God has a phone number. You can call him. It's Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call me and I will answer. Not like my wife when I call, she don't answer. But God always answers. I should say Trey, I guess. Jeremy. Call upon me and I will answer. And then it goes on to say, and I will show you great and mighty things of that which you did not know. Do you know there's something great and mighty out there just beyond what you do not know that God's just waiting for you to call and ask? Isn't that cool? Call on God. Ask him. Say, God, here I am. I need you. God, I want you. And God, I want to experience you and have you flow through my life. But today as we read Maximum Potential of Spiritual Growth, we're going through a series called Follow Me. Jesus says over and over in the Gospels and through our Bible, he says, follow me. So we're trying to understand how we as a church can follow God, follow Christ, and become a part of that great and mighty work that he does. So today, if you'll turn with me again to Colossians, we're going to read 9 through 12 of chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And stand with me out of the reverence of reading God's Word. It's also on the boards. You'll see today we have two screens. Pick which one you want to follow if you want to, if you don't have your Bible. But if you don't have a Bible, I have a Bible for you as a gift, and the ushers will make sure you have one before you leave here today. Read with me as I get my glasses. Colossians 1, 9. It says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, that word there is dunamis, lots of power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, and with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in the light. Pray with me. Father, be with us today. We thank you again for this word. It's an amazing and awesome word. And Father, we thank you that we can share this word and call upon you and you'll answer. But Father, help us today to realize that we must experience you, God, and not just have a knowledge of you in order to be equipped to do the works of the saints with joy and power and might. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have a seat. Well, again, thank you all for being here today. I have my notes on my iPad. If you're a guest here today, I use this periodically, and I ask you if you want to take notes on your phone or iPad, that's as fine and dandy for me just as well. But today I want to talk about, we started last week, I believe that if a church is going to do what a church is going to do in the 21st century, we must explore God's Word. That's why we're what we call a Bible church. We use our Bible as a reference for everything we do. So if you come to me and say, Pastor Billy, will you pray with me over this? I will usually pray a prayer that comes out of the Bible. You may not know that, but when I pray for you, I'll quote Scripture and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. So we explore God's Word so we know how to call upon God when we need God. And as we explore God's Word, for instance, you may have a question like this. What happens if, what's the Bible say? Or you may not even say it that way. A lot of questions are given to me like this. What happens if I do this? What happens if my cousin, they have a baby? This is a question that we got this week, Trey. I'll just use this. What happens if my baby dies? Where does it go? Well, we have to explore the Bible to know that. I can't just go, well, here's what I think, because I don't know anything. By the way, do we have anybody here from Nebraska? I learned this yesterday. Anybody from Nebraska? Uh-oh, you're in trouble. I learned yesterday that the N on a Nebraska helmet stands for knowledge. A guy told me that, and I was like... But here's the bad thing. Let me jump in with you. I'm going, that's pretty cool. So last night I'm eating dinner and I go, oh, it starts with a K. I confess. Wow, I shouldn't have told you guys that. Anyway, did you get that? Oh. All right, anyway. You did too, Robbie? I really feel bad. Is anybody like on my level here? All right. We have to explore God's Word. What's God's Word say about that? Well, we better go explore. What's God's Word say about salvation? Am I going to heaven? Well, I don't know. Are you? Go explore God's Word. Am I living the life that's abundant? What's John 10:10 say? It gives us a paradox here. It says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy you. But then Jesus says, but I have come to give life and to give that life abundantly. In other words, let me ask you a question today. Are you happy? Yes. I got one, two. Let's say it again. Are you happy?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But how do we know where we're at unless we explore God's Word? We must explore. So we talked about that last week. Get the tape, buy the CD, do whatever you got to do to hear it if you weren't here. But today we're talking about the word experience. Now, in your bulletin, there's going to be some lines that you fill out. And as we read this, I want you to remember how it goes. And to fill in the blanks as we read Colossians. And we must learn today to experience. And so that's where we're at. So the first word there, I don't have a bulletin in front of me. I guess I should. Let me see if I can find it on my iPad quickly. I want you to fill in the blanks that are on your bulletin. And I want you to understand where we're going today. Okay? Let me get there. And pray for my throat today. I have been just sicker than a dog all week. I have pleurisy right now. My back hurts so bad I can hardly stand here. But God is going to give me the power. Amen. I explored that in the Word and He said, I will give you strength. Okay? So read your bulletin on the back. It says this. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge and His will. And then there's a blank. Write in the word exploration. We've got to explore God's Word. Many Christians today say, one day I grew up, I heard about Jesus, I got saved, and I've never opened the Bible, I've never explored His Word. I don't know anything about His Word now, but I think I'm saved. And then they're living the life of John 10:10. The devil's killing them and stealing them and destroying their life because they don't know God's principles and God's Word to be able to pull out of what they're in. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that is experience. That's where we're at today. How are you experiencing God? If you're experiencing God by watching Benny Hinn on TV, you have a different theological view than I do. I'm just being honest. If you think walk around and blow on people with bad breath and they're healed, then you don't get it. We got to explore and experience God. I know God works in my life because I've prayed for a lot of you in this room, and I've seen God change your whole life right before your eyes, like that. That's experiencing God. I know that I've been in times of need, and I've said, God, I need help, and God showed up. Amen? Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. And if I explore that, I know that I can experience it. Belief in God, but not a lifestyle of God, is what I see in a lot of people today. We got to be careful. Verse 10. As to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, that's expression. The church today must learn to express the goodness of God in their life. Express what God has done in your life. Oh, isn't God good? Oh, I want to shout out what God's done. That's expression. Christians today express themselves by quietly and reverently and kindly sitting in the corner, never doing anything for God. Never mentioning God. When you see a person across the aisle in hurt or in need, suffering, killing and stealing and destroying their life, and we just sit there quietly and nicely and go, I'll pray for you. No, we got to express ourselves. We need to start laying hands on people and saying, man, I love you. God loves you. How can I pray for you? What can I do for you? What can God do for you? Expressing that. That's why we're going to small groups. That's how we do that in small groups. And I'll prove that in just a minute. May you be strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. There we are again in the cycle. That's experience. I'm sorry. I did miss one. After I said that, I just quoted that wrong. Has to work expressing and increasing knowledge of God, exploration. Exploration. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And increasing the knowledge of God. That's exploring God. I'm increasing knowledge. And then experiencing. Verse 12 is expressed. Giving thanks to the Father. Expressing. Father, thank you for what you've done. Father, you've shown up in my life and made a big difference in my life. Father, thank you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus. Give thanks to God. That's an expression who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And so with that, let's move on now to today and let's talk about how we experience God. Besides reading the book from Blackaby, Experiencing God, how do we experience God? Okay? And that's what we need to look at. All right, Trey, bring out those tents. I want to show an illustration here. Unzip them and just bring them over here. I want to show you an illustration. I thought today I would just show you instead of telling you so much how to experience. And I brought that. You know, Paul was a tent maker, so I went out and got some tents. And I thought we would share that. Now, here's a phrase I want you to listen to. You that are tweeting, I want you to tweet. You that are taking notes, I want you to take note. Everybody listen. Don't look at Trey. Listen to this. Spiritual growth comes from knowledge that is followed by application. Spiritual growth comes from knowledge that is followed by application. I can stand up here all day and give you guys exegetical, dispensational, existentialism knowledge, and it won't do you a bit of good until you can apply it, because none of you knew what I just said, right? Except maybe Michael, because he just got out of liberty. I can just give you all kinds of biblical knowledge, and it absolutely is worthless without application. Now, I have some tents up here. I'm going to show you my point in just a minute. Let me give you another reference to get you thinking well before we do this illustration. Did Christ die on the cross? Who believes that Christ died on the cross? Pretty much everybody in here. That's a knowledge of what happened, correct? We have knowledge that Christ died on the cross. Now, listen to this next question. It's another thing, though, to experience the love and grace and power of Christ dying on the cross. Are you with me? Let me give it to you a little simpler. To believe that Jesus died on the cross is believing in a historical event. I believe that happened. Does that make me a Christian? No. But to believe he died for me on that cross is what makes it an experience. I believe he died for me on that cross. And that's what makes it an experience. Knowledge will not grow you spiritually. Experiencing the truth will. Now, I need one more volunteer. I've got Trey, you're going to have to be one of them. I need one more volunteer. Who wants to do it? Q, you want to be a volunteer? We have these tents that are thrown up right here. Now, I spent 5 minutes with Trey last night, knowledgeably. I said, Trey, you fold it like a taco, step on the side, and you push down. Because that thing has to go back into a deal like this. They fit in my saddlebags on my mule. If my mule quits me at night, I have a place to sleep, all right, when I'm out in the mountains. And I showed him knowledgeably. I talked him through it. Q, you go like this. And you turn it and make it into a little thing. Got it? All right, do it. And then with Trey, I took him to the side and I grabbed his hands and I put his hands where they go and I showed him how to do it. Application. I put his hands to it. I walked him through it. Hurry, Q. We don't got all day. That's too big. It has to be half that size. It has to fit in that little bag. Well, he'll never get it because it's really hard to do unless I show you how to do it. I've left him in the mountains because I couldn't do him before. I'm so mad at him, right? All right. That is my point. You give up?
No.
Now, Trey, show him how to do it. Show him how to do it. Uh-oh. Show him how. Hurry. People are getting hungry. Show him how. Experience it with him. By the way, JD can do this too. All right. Now it'll fit in my little bag and I can put it in my mule. All right. Give him a hand. Thank you for the volunteer. right. Do you see the difference what I'm saying? I can tell you all day how to do it, but until I take your hands and show you, that's what our small groups are going to do for Heart Cry Church and the Santan Valley and Queen Creek community. I'm going to take your hands. Other leaders in this room are going to take your hands, not literally, but we're going to sit over a dinner table and say, here's what's going on in my life, and here's how we get through that. Here's where you put your hands. Here's where you put your feet. Here's what the Bible says on what to do to get. Let's experience God together. Now, it's hard for me to do that with all of you if there's 200 in here right now. But I can take 10 or 12 or 15 of you and put you in a smaller group, and you guys can work through that over some coffee cake or cheesecake or German chocolate cake. Amen, or oh me, right? Quickly, let me show you how Paul himself experienced this. Paul that wrote Colossians, as I prayed, I said, God, show me how you used, you had Paul exploring. He was the Pharisee among Pharisees. He knew the Old Testament word for word in the Hebrew. He knew what the Bible said, yet he was killing Christians. He explored the word, but he had no application. And finally, if you'll turn with me, if you want to just follow along, whatever you want to do, but in Acts 26, starting in verse 9, we see Paul unpacking what happened to him and how he experienced it. Acts 26, starting in verse 9, he says, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Do you realize that 4 out of 5 people that live in Santan Valley today oppose the teachings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? 4 out of 5 people you see today after you leave here and go to the Golden Arches to eat dinner are dying and going to hell. It's a sad thing, people. But Paul was there. And he says, and I did so in Jerusalem, and I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He says, I threw the first rock against Stephen and to kill the first evangelist. The Bible goes on to say right here in verse 11, and I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme, and in a raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, Paul says, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. And at midday, O king, he's telling the king his story about his deliverance to Christ. I saw on the way a light from heaven. I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. And it shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And he said, and when he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in my Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you have persecuted. But rise and stand up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant, a witness to the things in which you have seen me do, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from people, delivering you from your people, and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Why? To open their eyes so that they may experience, is what this is saying, so that they may turn from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. When Paul explored God's word, then he experienced God. And God spoke to him and showed him the way to get away from the power of Satan and into the power of Christ himself. You ask again, maybe, why small groups? Here's why. Why are we turning to small groups? Here's why. If you look in Acts 2, 41 through 47, I'll give you a second to turn there. Acts chapter 2, which is the Acts of the church. That's why it's called Acts. Acts chapter 2. It's possible they'll get it on the board. Acts 2, 41 through 47. And as you read up there behind me with it, I want to show you something. There was 3,000 people were saved. See, Jesus was with the guys, and they were all excited, and then Jesus went to the cross and died. Now, Peter and the apostles gathered in a room, and they're like, uh-oh, now what? And in Acts 1:4, the Bible says, Jesus says, wait right here, I'm going to go away. And when I go away, I'm going to high-five the Holy Spirit on His way down, wait here until He comes upon you, and then you will receive power. Acts 1:8. So they're sitting there going, all right. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. And now they're all excited about God. Now they've experienced God. They explored Him with Jesus on earth. Now they've experienced Him. They spoke in their own language. And they were able to reach and teach. The Bible says that they spoke and people perceived them as uneducated and unlearned. Yet what they said, they marveled at what they spoke. It was the Holy Spirit. They were experiencing God. So then Peter gets up and he says, I think I need to tell more people about God. And he starts telling about God, and 3,000 people came to Christ. Man, Trey, you're a pastor, and all you pastors in here, Mike, wouldn't it be cool to win 3,000 people in one day to Christ? Wow. Wow. I would just, if I preached in front of 3,000 people, I'd probably faint. But to have that many come forward and say, I surrender all. And so Peter's preaching here. Now, what's he going to do with these 3,000 people? Jesus has just ascended into heaven. This thing called the Holy Spirit that they'd never really functioned with before had now indwelt them. And now they're going, when I speak, people are going, hey, that dude's pretty smart. Or he gets it. He's experienced God. Now what? Well, look what happens here. In Acts 2, 41, 40, 41, it says, so those who received his word were baptized. Number, what's the first thing they did after they received the Holy Spirit? After they surrendered their life to Christ, then they got baptized. Many of you might be here today and never been baptized. We have a portable baptism and we'll do it right here. And I would pray that maybe at the end of the service today, if you've never been baptized, you'd pray about that. But always make sure you get baptized on the right side of the cross. Don't get baptized and then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and then get baptized. Are you with me? That's called on the right side of the cross in my book. And they devoted themselves, well, let me go back. So they received his words and they were baptized. And they were added that day about 3,000. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's kind of what we're doing right now. We're studying the Bible, what the apostles wrote, the gospels. This is knowledge. But then it says, and then they had teaching and fellowship. We don't fellowship today. We teach today. Fellowship is a time where you can sit down and hands on hand help each other. That's experiencing. Why small groups? We need to fellowship with one another. And then it says, even to clear it up more, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. We need to eat together and pray together. We need to break bread together. That's why home groups. That's why small groups. That's why life groups. And then it says, and we came upon every soul, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The Bible tells us why small groups? So we can see, and that the world can see, God's power demonstrated through us. I'm telling you today, as we turn to small groups and life groups, the world that is watching will see God's love and amazing power exemplified through you and me if we're in a small group. We're going to see it. It says it right here. We're going to see it. Can you imagine? Our neighbors are going to go, hey, they meet on Tuesday nights down there, and their lives are seem to be going good. Their lives seem to be on the other half of John 10:10. They're living the life, and they're happy, and they're abundant. That's what's going to happen. Many signs and wonders and miracles were being done because of that. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. All that believed were together and had all things in common. We don't even know each other by name in here anymore. We need to get back to small groups or start small groups. Our Sunday school has been very good and successful, but it's an old model that just today's society, it's home groups at work. We're going to focus all our energy at 10:30 at this church right here. Instead of 9 o'clock over there and then running over here. I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I moved 38 tables by myself. Jeremy helped quite a bit, but basically by myself, I moved 38. I'm tired already. I want to focus our energy here at 10:30. You guys get here about 10, whatever. Have a powerful, knowledgeable time of teaching, knowing that Monday through Sunday, whatever night of the week, wherever you want to meet, you're meeting with koinonia, with fellowship, with experiencing God together. I'm excited, people. This is cool, okay? And all who believed were together had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, all the proceeds to all as they had in need. We're doing away with our benevolence fund. We don't need one anymore because our small groups will take over that benevolence in each group. We don't need a benevolence fund. Your small group will make sure you're taken care of. You want to have a life-changing experience? Join a small group. It'll change your life. I guarantee it. All right? 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Homes. Say that with emphasis. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They met weekly in smaller groups, and they did life together. I kind of wrote it down like this. They prayed together, they ate together, and they learned together, and they experienced life together. That's pretty cool. To understand this, I'm going to I'm almost done. Stay with me. To understand this, we must explain or understand who we are. Let me ask you a question. Who are you? And not who, but who are you? I look at my musician as I, did I do good? Did I right key? Okay, I'm close. All right. Who are you? Well, I know who you are. And so let me tell you who you are. All right? We're one of two things. Well, actually, we're two things. All of us in this room. Why do I know this emphatically? Because I know God created all of us. And I don't think any of us in here are mutants. All right? And so with that being said, I know who you are. Do you know who you are? Quickly, let me share who you are. To understand why life groups, why small groups, why experience God, we have to look at the depths and truths of our life. And here's what it is. Stay with me. If you were both these things. Number one, my staff has heard this all week in the last 2 weeks. You are dependent. Not independent. You are dependent. Oh, no, I'm not. I know my dad used to say, I'm a self-made man. And I said, Dad, I think God made you. I don't think you made yourself. But anyway, we've been brought up in our society in our whole life. I did it my way. Whatever. All right. I'm not going to sing. No, we're dependent. I need you and you need me. We need God, right? We're dependent on each other and God. Dependency. We need air, food, and water. We're dependent on that. Just a quick verse. Acts 17:27. The Bible says that we should seek God in the hope that we might fill and find our way toward Him and find Him. We're dependent. I need you, you need me. How do I know this is true? Let me go a little bit farther. How do I know that this is true? Don't you crave relationships? Think about it. I want everybody to think in your own life right now. Do you crave a relationship? And here's why I know I'm right. You crave relationships so bad that even if it's a wrong relationship, you'll enter into it just to have a relationship. Unpack that in your own mind. You will get into a relationship you know you shouldn't even be involved in, but at least you can say, hey, I have a relationship. We crave relationship. We're dependent. We are made that way. We are designed that way. We pray for relationships because we're dependent, even unhealthy ones. And you are interdependent. Not only are you dependent people, you are an interdependent people. Notice I did not ever say independent. We're not made to be independent. I'm not made to say, here I am, everybody else leave me alone. I'm not made that way. God created me to have a relationship with Him and with others. And interdependent would be like a piece of a puzzle. If we had a 6-piece puzzle here and I pulled out the middle piece, the whole puzzle would fall. Our small groups are very, very, very intensely made to make you and me realize our interdependency. So if you come to my small group, it's going to be, how are you today? And if something's not right, we're going to get down on our knees and pray and ask God to show up and make whatever's wrong right. And I'm going to be interdependent on you. I'm going to share with you, hey, I need this. Because God made me to be dependent on you and interdependent on you. And the only way we can do that in a church this size as we grow to 5,000 is to do it through small groups of 10, 15 people. Dependent and interdependent upon each other. Do you hear me? If you do, say amen. It's really quiet in here today. Interdependent. Genesis 2, God says it's not good for man to be alone. And I believe that. So, last four words. Here we go. We're done. Strength. What? Why small groups? Why not do 9 o'clock? Well, number one, we're going to save 18,000 a year, but that's not why. We have to do this. But now, instead of coming here at 9, at 10:30, we're going to have a dynamic children's worship service next door. All the kids will be over there. Dynamic worship with music, live teaching. Stacy's going to take a lot of that. Lisa and Shannon and Brenda. Many of you in here are going to be teaching the kids very specific, great curriculum that we have right over there while we're here at 10:30. It's going to give us strength. The Bible says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Anybody here today have tribulation? And I do. But take heart, I have overcome the world, says Jesus. And if I'm dependent and interdependent on Robbie, and I can share Robbie, I have tribulation, and Robbie can share tribulation with me, I feel good about it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Number two, not only are we going to have strength in our small groups, we're going to have wisdom. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. We're going to have somebody in our small group to ask, hey, what do I do about this? Hey, what would you do about this? And we're going to research the Bible to find out what. See that? And number three, accountability. This is the big one of the Church of America today. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be doer, not just a hearer. And then it goes on to, I love this part. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Anybody look in the mirror today? Anybody like what they saw? At least we got a humble crowd. I thought half the guys would go, yeah, man. See, if we look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. We just go, I'm not going to look in there anymore. I just learned, just don't put your glasses on when you look, and everything looks good. All right. But, and we can walk away and say, oh, I just forget what I look like. Well, he's saying we can't do that with God's word, because it says in verse 24, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. People, we need to hold each other and help each other be accountable. Applying God's word, applying God's principles in our lives. Sometimes you and me both need to be reminded about what to do. Biblically, we need to be reminded. Small groups will do that greatly. And finally, acceptance. We need to know that we matter. You guys matter to me, and I hope I matter to you. You need to let other people in your neighborhood know that they matter to you. Acceptance. We need to know that. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We want to be that friend that demonstrates God's love and power to our community at Heart Cry Church. Amen? All right. So we are dependent and interdependent people, and small groups will give us this strength, wisdom, accountability, and acceptance. Final question for the day. Who today makes up your small group? As I look at the young people and older alike, all of us have a small group. Maybe we don't realize it. But all of us today have a small group. And I ask you, who makes up your small group today? Hopefully, in the future, you'll say, my Heart Cry family makes up my small group. And I ask you to consider a small group. And I ask you this way, because I'm asking you to sign up for a life-changing experience. I am asking you today as your pastor to sign up for a life-changing experience. And I ask you this, give us 7 weeks. Let's try this. And after 7 weeks, if it's a blunder, which I don't believe it will because God has shown me this, but I'm asking you to swallow and say, I'll give Pastor a 7-week chance. I'm asking for me, give us 7 weeks to try to see if it's not a life-changing experience in your life. And try it and see what happens. So today as I close, I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want you to think and just erase everything out of your mind right now. And imagine this. God is calling you. Will you answer? God is asking you to change your life so that through you, the world will see Jesus. Will you answer? God is asking you right now, and I want you to think about this. How can I experience God in my life? God is showing you right now, I know He is, in your life, how you can experience God. And it may be some change in your life, but God is showing you right now because you're asking, here's what you need to do to experience me and to have that life and to have that abundant life. So right now, as God is showing you a plan, I pray that you'll perceive that and receive that. And I also pray right now that you will be bold enough to answer God's call. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that you would move amongst us. And your Bible says, our Bible says, John 6:44, that the Holy Spirit will call us to become saved. And I pray that you're prompting somebody in here today. That big word saved means just to have a relationship with you. To experience God, not just explore God with knowledge, but to experience God. Father, I pray that today somebody would be bold enough to receive you. And Father, I pray for many today that would be bold enough to pray, to come up and say, Pastor, I want you to pray that I would experience God in an amazing way that would change my life. And I know God will do it today. Father, I pray that those who have never been baptized doesn't make us go to heaven. But baptizing shows that we are obedient to the first thing He tells us to do after we're saved, and that is get baptized. Father, I pray for an obedient people today. And Father, most of all, I thank You for Your Son Jesus who died on the cross so that I could be saved, a wretch like me. Father, we love You, and we thank You in everything that we've done. In Jesus' name, will you stand with me? God is speaking to you today. Stacy's in the back if you'd like to pray. I'm up front. Maybe you want to come join this fellowship like many have in the last few weeks. Maybe you just need to pray because your life is hurting right now. If you're hurting, or maybe you want to rejoice, will you come? Will you come?
You're the center of the union. Everything was made in You. Jesus, the breath of every living thing, everyone was made for You. You're the center of the universe, everything was made in You. Jesus, the breath of every living thing, everyone was made for You. You hold everything together. You hold everything together. You hold everything together. You hold everything together. Oh, Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the face. Fix our eyes, be the center of our lives.
You come. As we continue to sing, will you come? God speaking to you right now.
You're the center of the universe. Everything was made in You. Jesus, the breath of every living thing, everyone was made for You.
You hold.
You hold everything together. You hold everything together. You hold everything together. You hold everything together. Oh, Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our eyes. Be the center of our lives. Oh, Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our eyes. Be the center of our
seated. We're going to continue with our worship as we receive our tithes and offerings today. We give so that we can continue to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ. And as you give to that ministry that does that, and we thank you for that. So if you'll bow with me today, if you're our guest today, I pray that you'll put your guest card in there. Members, if you'll give today, that would be awesome as well. We love you and thank you. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd multiply what's given today. Dependent and interdependent on each other and you. And as we give, Lord, we'll show the world that is watching a demonstration of God's love and power. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.